Hello and welcome to a podcast brought to you by The Religion of Aston Villa.
We're a social media account on Twitter and Facebook that wants to get our voices out there and heard, so please join us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode. This time, obviously, a disappointing loss to Spurs. So let's just get straight into it.
Yeah, 100% terrible result. But before I do, I would just a poll results during the Spurs preview. We said about who should deserve an England call up more, and 92% said Konsa. So landslide right there. And also, just because obviously it falls on the 24th, is our 1 month anniversary. So thank you to everybody that has listened to us over the last month. But yeah, jumping straight into the lineups, what was your thoughts?
Well, on the first podcast, I thought, well, obviously the preview podcast we did, I thought he would have played Barkley, but we did say if he didn't play Barkley, he would play Samson. But I had no problem with the lineup. I think we expected it. I'd rather have Agassi than Trez, but it is what it is. They're pretty much like for like. And it was good to see Cash back, even though he didn't have the best of games, but I'm not going to go in on him hard. But the lineup in general, I would have been happy with that. It's fine. Was I surprised that Jack weren't in? No. I think we won't see Jack now until after the international duty. International sort of week or two, and that's fine. It gives him another 2 weeks to get match fit and a bit, you know, a bit more sharper. So yeah, I didn't mind the lineup. I think we both expected that sort of lineup and team.
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, no Jack. You know, was a shock horror. Not, especially after the England international coming out and not being in that. Glad to see Sanson starting ahead of Barkley, you know, starting to make his mark on the starting 11 now. And I was glad to see Traore and Cash back, because obviously Traore had that little knock that, you know, was a bit of a scare, and Cash coming back. So, yeah, I was quite happy with the lineup, and the formation was same as always. And just to touch on the Spurs point of view, doesn't really matter now. But looking back, when I saw the look, there was no Son, which I thought was good news for us. And there's a few youngsters on the bench. However, still had the likes of Dele Alli, Dele Alli, Bale and Soko on there. So, you know, I thought, like, you know, it was a good little mix for them. But still, I thought we could fancy our chances. But jumping straight into the game, first half, what was your thoughts?
The first half, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe up to the first 25 minutes. I'm not going to say we controlled the game, because we never did. But out of the two teams, maybe I thought we looked a bit more attacking than they did. Spurs were playing poorly. They didn't have much confidence after getting ripped apart in Europe in the week. Getting thrown out of the, obviously, the tournament. Is it the quarterfinals that they lost in, was it?
Yeah.
So their confidence was down. You can tell that Mourinho was unhappy, hence why he changed the team. Because you got the likes of Ali on the bench, Bale, Sissoko, yeah. Eric Dier, some very good players that are on the bench. So you're thinking, oh, if we're going to beat them, this is the time. And then, obviously, the goal happened, and then they never turned around. We didn't sort of have the goal as a, oh, bloody hell, we've conceded. Let's just try and kick on now. It sort of Spurs scored, and then it just went their way for the rest of the game. We didn't go up a gear. We didn't change the game plan. And unfortunately, the first goal was our fault. I mean, the ball came in and there was a mix-up there. It's hard to say whose fault it was. Could one of the centre-backs have cleared it first? Did Martinez? Could they have just rifled it into their half? When the ball did get cleared out, could maybe Cash take a quicker touch instead of getting caught out? And then, but when Spurs got the ball back after that fumble, they did very well in their passing to score the goal. So I can't even moan to say that it was an easy goal, because it weren't. They did a lot of good interlock passing. And then it worked out to be like some sort of FIFA goal. Just pass it across the goal. And then someone sweaty just knocks it in. It's like a typical FIFA pro team goal. But you don't give Spurs that chance. And then we gave them that chance. And unfortunately, they controlled it since that. And it was disappointing because our form hasn't been great of late. And more we lose without Jack, more we get called a one-man team. And it's really frustrating to hear that. Because more we do it, more we pretty much are. And it's just, yeah, it is frustrating because as bad as it sounds, and I don't want to be all doom and gloom, we'll be lucky to finish top 12 if we carry on.
Yeah, as you said, for the first half, I thought first half especially was very lively. You know, it was good intensity football. You know, we had like the Traore where the Spurs defender stood still. He should have had a shot on target at least. Target as well with his good run. You know, instead of trying to cut you across, he should have just had a go. And I felt, to be fair, from a positive, I thought the right side of Cash and Traore, they struggled to cope with for mass parts of the game. But as you said, for that goal, it was just a big mistake from our team coming out. It just made a complete mess. And then obviously, Mings tried, you know, took in Konsa's position on the right, and then Konsa didn't cut his position on the left. And, you know, they just, like you said, it was just a FIFA pro goal. They just walked it in, and it was a shame because we was controlling big parts of that first half, and they literally sleepwalked the goal in, and they hadn't even woke up at that point, which is quite, you know, worrying from our point. And then just, it was just silly. And then, like I said, there was just stupid mistakes all over the pitch staff. And it just kind of shows our season's been since we come back from our COVID breakout. Going into half time, was there any subs you felt we could do with, we needed?
No, I think we didn't need to do anything at half time. I think Trez didn't have a great half, but you can't rate a player on one half. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Trez could have the worst half in his career, and you will not get brought off in the first half. Do you know what I mean? Smith's not like that. He'll give you 10, 15 minutes to make up for it in the second half. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So half-time subs for me aren't a thing unless I'm playing FIFA. But no, it just ain't going to happen. I just thought the second half started a bit brighter. And to be fair, like you said, we did. But I think it was just our own downfall. Obviously, I'm not going to go into the penalty and make it a big thing. It was a penalty done, and they scored it. Do you know what I mean? It is what it is. And yeah, it was just, I seem really down about it. It's just when you do a podcast this quick after the game, it's really hard to sort of see any things in it. Tomorrow morning, I'll probably feel a lot more positive about it, but I think sometimes it's better to chat about it when it's just happened. Just in the second half, we started pretty much how we started the first half. It weren't too bad, but then another goal kills it, and that's the end of that. And then three subs came on, and did they change the game? Al-Ghazi probably, he had a really good shot when he came on, and he didn't play too bad. Samson got brought off of Barclay, another passenger in another game.
Yeah.
And 10 minutes to go, Davis gets another 10 minutes. Again, the most pointless 10 minutes ever. Again, nothing against him, but these 10 minutes and 5 minutes he's getting is really not helping him as a player. It was just, I'm going to say lackluster performance, but he just lacked the creativity, the positivity, and the energy that we had in our first 12 games, I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, as you say, with the subs, I mean, I was struggling to see anybody that can make a big difference. Like you say, you normally get you didn't really do it today, you brought Traore off, but you normally get the Al-Ghazi for Trez or the Trez for Al-Ghazi. But there was nobody that I thought can make a big difference. And as you said, on the second half, it was a pen. I felt Kane went down a bit easy, if I'm honest, but it was a pen nonetheless. But I did feel it was a bit harsh on Sanson coming off. He was the most energetic player for me in our 11 for a guy with zero confidence. So I thought that was a bit harsh on him. I didn't think he did anything wrong. If anybody was going to come off, I probably would have gone McGinn just because his second half weren't the best. But as you say, we can't really talk much about the penalty because it was blatant. It was poor. So looking back now, after the, we've just, like I said, the game's just finished, what's your overall thought of the game, looking back?
Again, I'm not going to be all doom and gloom because it's a loss and we move on. I was just a bit, I think the word disappointed. It just seemed that not many people turned up to the office today. Yes, it's Spurs. They're a top team. But if we didn't give them that cheap goal, I think we could have gone on and maybe nicked that game 1-0. So it's disappointing. It's a chance missed. But it's not the same old story, isn't it, though? It's another chance missed. I just really hope we start picking points up because I don't want our start of the season to be overshadowed with a bad end to the season, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, we did so well at the start of the season to get ourselves into, I don't know, 6th or 7th or whatever. And now we're sliding down. I don't want us to be below 10th, in my opinion. But that's obviously about the whole season. I want to talk about the game a bit. But yeah, it was... yeah, you can tell in my tone, I'm just disappointed that we gifted them a goal that pretty much changed the game for them. Because like we said, as soon as they scored the goal, it was their game. And I think if we scored, it would have been completely different because their confidence was shot from their European game. I think we could have piled misery on them and we just didn't do it. And it is quite annoying to look at that and think we lost 2-0. But you look at the stats, I think it was 51 possession to 49. I think it was 7 shots to 8 shots. So it weren't as if we got hammered. We just didn't take our chances and use our possession well. And I think, and then this sounds like I'm clutching to straws now, but we're not having maybe the look that other teams are getting. Like, when have we had one of those back passes that have gone to our attacking players? Not since the Liverpool game at the start of the season. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We're not having the rub of the green or a stray pass that we can lock onto. And I was just a bit disappointed. And I thought Watkins, we could have maybe seen him score a goal to celebrate his call up. But it didn't go away. And that's the end of the day. And we move on. I'll forget about this result tomorrow morning. And we move on to our next game against Fulham. So, it is what it is. Just a night to forget.
Yeah, as you say, after the pen, the game was done. And Spurs pretty much treated it like a training exercise for me. We offered 0 and they become arrogant with it and confident. And it showed. But like you say, it was kind of annoying. The fact that, you know, they were there for the taking, especially in the first 20 minutes. You know, we could have been 2-0 up, you know, with a bit of luck. But again, it's the same old tale, no Jack, no win, unfortunately. And it's going to sound a little harsh at the minute, but without Jack, the way we're playing right now, I don't think we're in a better place than we were from Project Restart. Like, we're kind of the same. We're no better, we're no worse when Jack's not playing. When Jack's playing, we do look like a top 8, top 9 side. But when he's not playing, and it's shown since he's been out, we're playing like a bottom 9 side, and just luckily we've got the points on the board to not worry about relegation or being well. And right, we're going into our player ratings now. So what was your back 5 with Martinez?
Okay. I need to get a level head now and not just dive in because I'm annoyed. So Martinez, apart from his mistake, he was fine. Do you know what I mean? So he can have a 6 out of 10. If you asked me this about 10 minutes ago, he would have got about a 4 out of 10. But I need to look at the bigger picture and not be an idiot. Do you know what I mean? I need to get a bit more level-headed. So, yeah, if you take away the mistake and the mix-up with the centre-backs for the goal, he had his normal solid game, didn't he?
Yeah, I gave him a 6 as well. Do you know what he was doing for the first goal? That was my opinion of Martinez. You know, he pretty much wasn't worked, really. Where, you know, from how much Spurs looked on form, he didn't really get to. Did the basics well as normal, but yeah, that goal, I have no idea. On to the back 4. Cash, I've given a 6. He was quite high until the penalty. I thought he kept Celso quiet. but he made a right hash for the penalty. Konsa, I gave a 7. I thought he had a good game, bar the mess up for the goal. You know, I thought he was to blame along with the other three. Mings, I gave a 7 as well. I thought he just did as well as Konsa did. It weren't a brilliant game. Target, I gave a 6. My opinion, should have had a shot on goal instead of cutting across. And I thought he was more at fault for the goal, especially coming in from the left.
Target, I gave a 6. He just had his standard game. Probably didn't look as attacking as he normally did. I don't think we'll see the real Target until Jack's back. Jack and Target link up ridiculously well. So he did what he had to. He didn't make any major mistakes, so I can't say anything about him. Mings and Konsa, I've just given them both a 6. They both did okay because, again, I don't think they let the goal affect them. And they did what they had to. So it was just a bit annoying because you got two, in my opinion, English internationals, and they make a silly mistake like that with the keeper to concede the first goal. But again, I just need to forget about that and we can move on, because when has Konsa really made a mistake? Mings has made a few terrible passes at the back under pressure, but we've not seen that off Konsa yet, so hopefully we can check that off. Cash, I've given him a 7 purely because, yes, he gave the penalty away, and he got books, but he put more energy into the 90 minutes he played tonight than I think Almo put in the last 5 games. Do you know what I mean? His work rate was insane as always. You can tell he's a little bit short of, I don't want to say fitness or match sharpness, but you can tell he's not played a game for as many weeks. So I did feel quite bad that his game back was Spurs, but it's really good to see him in the team. As I said, it's not an ideal game for him to come back to, but there's a few weeks now for these players to get over this match, and hopefully, obviously, we can come back stronger against Fulham. So I'm not going to be too harsh. What are you going to give the middle three? McGinn, Sanson and Louise?
Louise, give him a 6. I thought he was poor, to be honest. I thought he gave the ball away too much and didn't win anything back of note. McGinn gave a 7. First half, he was really good. Some of the through balls he was doing, and you know, a couple where Trezeguet should have gone the end off, but he weren't quick enough. But then in the second half, he was bang average again. Sanson was my man of the match for a Villa player. He had good legs, good passes. You know, pretty much the only guy possible that could connect with somebody. Even though he did it a couple of times. So I gave him an 8.
McGinn. Just a bit inconsistent, weren't he? You'll see a prime McGinn. Yeah. I mean, you'll see the prime McGinn that we all know. And then a second later, we'll see a Gavin McCann McGinn. And it's like, oh, for sake. So, yeah. But no one really had a fantastic game, did they? So, you know, again, I'm not going to single him out and moan at him. Louise, I need to see this Louise post lockdown. We've not seen him since maybe the first 4 or 5 games of the season. Do you know what I mean? That Louise that was hungry and he wanted everything. I don't know if I'm thinking outside the box and he's already thinking about next summer about where he's going. I don't know. So it's a bit frustrating. A player like him isn't doing it, because it's getting to a point now where I will say, just put Nakamba in if he ain't doing it. Morgan Sanson, I agree. I gave a 7. I was a bit annoyed when he came off. Like you said, if anyone comes off for Barkley, it's McGinn. He needs a 90 minutes. I don't think he's had a 90-minute match yet. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
He's our player. Barkley isn't. So I'd rather put time and effort into players that are ours, if you know what I mean. Because the chances of us buying... Well, I don't think the chances of us buying Barkley are slim. I think the fact that I don't think many fans want us to have Barkley, you know, so put your effort into people that we want. And I think Sansom, he's our player. So give him the 90 minutes. Do you know what I mean? let's see what he does. So, yeah, I thought he did well. A lot of energy. I think we played more of a 4-3-3 than a 4-2-3-1 than we normally play. Because normally we'll play four at the back, then two in front, and then three across, and then one up top. And that, but it didn't look like we had that attacking one. We had, we just had the middle three of Samson, McGinn and Louise. And I liked it. It just didn't work out in this game. But I'm sure we'll find a combination to work against Fulham.
Yeah, definitely. As you said, with the Louise one, I would probably start looking at Nakamba. Louise, you know, people start saying Pep wants him, but at the minute, he ain't playing good enough to be in my starting 11, personally. So if he wants to go on City side, that's phenomenal. He's going to have to start pulling his finger out. Otherwise, he will be at Villa next season. But, you know, I'm not saying unwantedly, but, you know, not for where we thought he would be. Moving on to front three, Trez, Traore and Watkins. I gave Trez a 6. Bags of energy was everywhere in the first half. But it was ridiculous how many times he was on the floor. He was like Bambi on ice. It was different level. And he offered Watkins nothing. Same again, really, for Traore. He offered Watkins nothing. And, you know, we showed some very good first touches and taking players on. But then again, the usual hot and cold in a match, let alone match to match. You know, he's taking 3-4 players on and then he's stumbling over his own feet. Watkins, I gave him a 6. I thought he did all the basics as normal, good. But he got bullied, in my opinion. But I think that's down to the lack of having a helping striker, because I thought if we could have had two good strikers up there today, I think we would have been a bit more clinical.
Front three, I'll give them all a 6. That might sound like a cop-out, but I can't give them any more. It was annoyed for Watkins. Watkins' game is obviously get the balls fed to him, but we had two wingers that didn't do that. We had Toure that's very, very good, but he looks the shot first, if that makes sense. And Trezeguet just hasn't got the finishing... he just hasn't got the finishing pass or the finishing shot. So we're expecting Watkins to score, but he's getting literally no service. At least when Jack's there, Jack always looks for the pass first. He never looks for the shot first. It's always the pass first. But when you've got two wingers like that, that you've got Trez, who maybe hasn't got the finishing touch or shot, so he isn't going to set anything up, and Toure will look for the shot first, then you're just looking at your wing backs to really give the chances. So Watkins is, I mean, you say you're feeding off scraps. He didn't even have scraps. Do you know what I mean? It was another tough night for him, and we're not making him look good, and it's really frustrating because he's such a good striker. And we're just not making him look as good as we did at the start of the season. It's quite frustrating, and it sounds really, really bad. When Jack's back, I can see Watkins scoring more. And that isn't just me saying it. That's going to be a fact.
Yeah, I think so as well. Like I say, we'll talk about the Fulham preview when we come to it, which hopefully Jack's back for that. On the subs, I gave them all a 6, literally. I thought Al Ghazi kind of did better than Trez or Traore in the final third, but that wasn't by much. And like I said, I think that was literally because I think he gave us, what, the first shot on target. Other than that, like I say, all three were pants.
I gave them all fives, and they didn't change the game in the slightest. And what I looked like more of a threat, but his good first shot doesn't make you have a good game, if that makes sense. You've got to do more than just hit the side netting. Do you know what I mean? But you look at the bench in general. We've got Bjorn Engels that hasn't played a game for a year. Marvellous Nakamba that arguably could be in the starting lineup. Then you've got Almo and Taylor, two of the oldest fullbacks in the Premier League, surely. And then you've got El Ghazi, Jacob Ramsey, Barkley and Davis. That's not too bad, but you need a better striker on the bench, and you need maybe better wing backs on the bench to change the game a little bit. We just haven't got that. And I think it's getting towards the end of the season of people being injured and stuff like that. A bench has been exposed. Do you know what I mean? Like, we were quite lucky at the start of the season because we had no injuries. So our bench was fine, and we're winning. Yeah. We're winning every game. So it's like, oh yeah, it's good, it's fine. And then we were tested a bit, and at the start it was fine. But now people aren't filling the spots.
That's exactly what is happening, and which kind of brings me on to this week's poll, which will be running until we do the Q&A podcast that we're going to do in the international break. Right now, just working on right now, going to say from our current squad, so if we keep all the players, bar Barkley and the players out of contract, we all know a striker's probably going to be number one priority. What's number two to you?
I just want to point out that I'm 2-0 in these polls, but I'm not even going to make a big issue. What, if we started next season with this team that we've got now, and then what would I want to be added?
Basically, yes. Yeah. So we keep everybody, bar Barkley, because his loan's up. Owen Taylor will go because their contract's up. So everyone else stays. We've added a striker, which we'll say number one priorities. What's number two to you? And what I'll do for on Twitter is I'll give the poll as my answer, your answer, and I'll put other as the third so you can comment. So if it is different, we can read that poll.
See, in my opinion, I'm just trying to think. In my opinion, we need a backup left back. But that's not a priority, is it? We just need a backup left back when Target gets injured. Do we need a backup right back? It depends if we can rely on the youngster from the under-23s. Mm-hmm. But again, that's not priority. In my opinion, it'll be a out-and-out winger to challenge Touré. Like, I'm talking like a top-end winger, like a £30 million winger, or another midfielder.
Yeah.
Probably someone to replace Barkley. Like another out-and-out attack. Like, how can I word it?
Like an attacking midfielder, number 10.
Yeah, a playmaker. Like, I want us to break our bank on like a £40 million playmaker, because we can't expect Jack to do everything. And what Barkley was like when he first joined us, he was making a lot in the middle. And I think that's sometimes where it happens. And then in the middle, we've got nothing there. And yeah, we just don't create. So a number 10.
Okay. Any particular names or none on top of your head?
Oh, no, you've put me on the spot. I'll have to do some research if it was...
Okay.
I'll have to do some research for that. I've got names for forward and stuff, but I need to do some research for attacking. But no, I don't know. I don't want to throw names in it, but it would definitely have to be a number 10.
Fair enough. I'm going to go for a winger. I was going to go for the opposite to whichever one you chose. We need a proper winger who can cross the ball. Too many times we have options to cross the ball and it just hits the first man, the centre half. Like if we could have Snodgrass 10 years ago, he would be perfect for this team. So I'm going to go for a winger. If at the moment, if I could, and probably if I got given this option at the start of January, I think I would have got laughed out the building. But the way he's playing at the moment, Lingard would be a perfect fit right now. But I can't see him. He's either going to be staying at Man United, especially the way he's playing, or he's going to go straight to West Ham, who's took him. So, but if I had a choice at the moment that I can think top of my head, I'd put on the spot, it would be Lingard. But as I say, a winger for me is the option I personally think we need to go for after the striker.
I'd be happy with either, because if we've got an out-and-out world-class winger, that means Jack can come back in the middle, and then our number 10 position's filled.
Yeah.
So I'll be happy with that. We spoke about this at the start of the season. We probably won't get him now because they're coming up from the Championship, but would you take Buendina from Norwich if you had the chance still?
Yes, I would.
Do you think we need to be looking bigger, or do you think he'll still be a good fit?
No, I still think he'll be a good fit. Like I say, Watkins made the step up. He's done well. Konsa did. Med done well. So, you know, it doesn't always mean that, you know, that if somebody costs £450 million, doesn't automatically mean them a top player. So I probably still go for Buendia, 100%. Like, I like Tony, who plays for Brentford. I know he's going back in the Brentford pool again, but, you know, he's smashing it as well. So, No, I'd be happy with that. I know a lot of people start the season, people getting excited, but Buendia and Benrahma was the two that I wanted over Sarr. So, yeah, Buendia, I'd be all over that. Yeah, how about you?
I mean, well, they're both going to cost a lot of money. Buendia would cost a lot, but if he comes, I think Norwich have pretty much walked the championship again, so he won't leave. Depends if Watford come up or not, will be the chance to get Sarr. Would you take a cut price, because he's not going to cost full price now, a cut price Rashica winger?
The old Robbie Keane.
Yeah, his name has been going on for the last two transfer windows, and he didn't want to join us and all this yada yada. He's hardly played this season. But because of that, he's not going to be worth the 30 mil that we were quoted. We could easily snap him up for about 18, 20 mil now.
Yeah,
he hasn't lost his quality. He's just lost his game sharpness. But would you be happy if we signed him for a cut price?
Yes, he's still got the quality. Yes, he's got bags of pace. Yes, he is a good player. If I was given the option of him or Buendia, I'd still go Buendia. If I got optioned him or Brooks from Bournemouth, I'd still go Brooks.
Oh, I forgot about Brooks.
I'd go Brooks. So that's kind of where I put him. Like, if we can't get the Buendia, the Brooks, then yeah, like I say, he's very quick. Which, you know, sometimes we do lack a bit of pace, but like I say, I think our problem at the moment is the final third, you know, getting the crosses in and scoring. And he is a decent finisher as well. So, cut price deal like we did for Sanson. And yeah, I'm all over a bargain. How about you?
I forgot about Brooks as well. He's very good. And they've got a defensive midfielder as well, Bournemouth, that I like. Is it Billy?
Yeah, the one that looks like Tyrone. Very good.
Yeah, well, apparently they're best friends, apparently.
Oh, right.
But the guy's a monster. He's like 6'6", and he's a defensive midfielder. The guy's an animal.
Yeah, I know you mean. Yeah, I do like him. And like I say, I think it'll come down to... I can't see a third one if Nakamba and Luis die, but if, argument's sake, Luis left it, then yeah, I'd be Bournemouth and trying to snap up Brooks and Billing if the option was there. Yeah, because he's very good.
I just think it's a no-brainer that City will get him back. Even if Luiz don't start, he's a squad player for 25 million. Very cheap.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So if I'm Man City, they don't think about sentimental. They ain't going to think, Villa fans are going to be annoyed if we buy him back. No, they're not going to think like that. They're going to think, I can get a decent defensive mid for 25 mil that maybe won't start every game, but for depth he'll do very well. He's a Brazilian international. Yeah. To me, it's a no-brainer. The only thing that stops the deal, in my opinion, is if they speak to Luiz and Luiz wants to stop at Villa. That's the only thing that's going to stop the whole thing, and I'm hoping he does, but you've just got to be prepared for every scenario.
Yeah, you have. And like you say, he's a Brazilian international, 25 million. You know, you don't really get Brazilian internationals for 25 million. You know, as soon as I got that cap, them, you know, that has a lot of value. And he's still very young as well, so he can improve. Gets to play on the Pep. You know, does anybody ever turn down the opportunity to be trained and coached by Pep? Body that has, you know, the Mott's
tough one. That's a tough one.
Yeah,
and you'll be fighting for five titles every season.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
That's the thing. But if it does go, you know, it is what it is. We've been here before. You know, with your Delphs, your Milners, your Youngs, your Benteckis. So we've all been there. But like I say, hopefully we've got the finger on the pulse, which seems like we seem to be better now in the transfer market. That, you know, we're getting people. But like I say, Billing is a very good shape. I like Berg as well from Sheffield United. I'm sure I spoke about that on the Sheffield United preview. I like him. And like I say, there's going to be players abroad that we've never heard of. And, you know, that will hopefully be very tasty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting to the taste of things now of a transfer thingy. But we can talk about this on our summer transfer podcasts. I think there'll be many of them. Maybe a podcast for every position.
I'm up for that.
Some ideas. It's going to be interesting. But the only thing I'm going to say, because obviously we've pretty much said that Luiz is going back, I don't want him to go back. I hope he doesn't go back. I'm just speaking, if I was Man City, I don't want any people listening to this thinking, oh, I think Luiz is going to go back. No, no, no. I'm just saying it because Man City won't think of sentimental. They ain't going to be bothered that Villa fans are going to be annoyed.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
They're going to see what's best for business and best for Pep. So I don't want him to go. I hope he doesn't go. But he's going to be open to the idea. If any people go, I think Luiz is the highest chance of any of our players leaving.
Yeah.
So you've just got to get used to it. The only one that we hope don't happen is obviously Jack, but that's, I'm sure that's going to be another summer saga.
Yeah, definitely. And like you say, if he does go, we just got to make sure we've got the finger on the pulse to get ready to get a replacement. But on the outskirts of since 2021, he's not played that well. So I'm not going to say I won't miss him because I would, because he's got a lot of potential, but he's not been, you know, he's not been outstanding, unbelievable. You know, when Delph left, which they signed for a cup prize because he's an England international, they didn't even really play him. I mean, they end up becoming a left back for him just because an England international, they snapped him up. So, like you say, Doug Luiz is on the card. But he hasn't been...
There's a few players that we left because quite cheap because their contract's running down. I'm sure Ashley Young and Milner left at a lower price because they only had 2 years left as well. I definitely know Young did because we only sold him for like 26 million because he only had 2 years left. If United brought him in his prime, he would have been a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, yeah. And like you say, he's fair enough, Ashley Young did play quite a lot for Man United. Like you say, then with Milner, we've got Ireland as part of that deal. Christ, we missed out that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
that. I didn't mind my shirt. Still want to talk about it.
When he came to us, I was just like, oh no, we've got an absolute
yeah, I was as well. Because he was brilliant before Christ. The old sheets come in. Him and Richard Dunn was like so phenomenal for Man City. And
yeah.
Christ.
How times change.
It does, sadly.
Christ. All right, well, I think we've bored people enough here. Off topic as always.
As always.
So our next episode will be, is the Q&A one, I'm guessing now, because we're into internationals now. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to have 6 questions from Facebook and 6 questions from Twitter. We'll put the posts out in the coming days and then we're going to pick 6 of the best each. And then we're going to answer all 12 questions and have both our views on both of them. Because obviously we might not have the same views. Because we need something to fill the international games because it's... Is it 2 weeks, is it? Is
yeah,
it a 2 week break? Yeah, it is, isn't it? So. But apart from that, thank you very much for listening. And it's not the greatest game to be talking about. Hence why we're trying our hardest to make it sound... Well, not make it sound better, but not trying to be too down about it. But it is what it is. And we move on. We lose football games. That's football, isn't it? Like,
sadly.
You know, you win, you lose, you draw. Like, if you won all the time, I can say it would be boring, but it probably wouldn't be boring. But, yeah, it would just be good to do a podcast where we've won a game because I think we've only done one winning podcast, I think.
Yeah, Leeds. Is that Leeds? The only one, sadly. Yeah. I just want to do a positive one.
It's only so much you can talk about. When you lose and when you draw, there's only so much you can talk about and make it sound good. I mean, like, make it positive. And when you win, you don't have to make anything sound positive because you sound it in general. Yeah,
that's the thing. And as you say, it was a good feeling, you know. And we're just going through such a bad patch at the moment. And... just like I say, let's just see what happens when Jack comes back, and we'll soon find out whether we are a one-man team or we're a no-man team, and we just need to heavily invest again in the summer. But hopefully Jack comes back and absolutely smashes Fulham, and you know, shows his worth to save Gaetan Smith.
Oh, 100%. I'm expecting a very much geared up Jack, and that's a very dangerous player to have. So bring on Fulham. But before that, obviously, we'll have a Q&A that I'm actually quite looking forward to. I'll see what hard hitting questions that we can be. I'm sure there'll be a few funny ones in there as well. But yeah, let's see what we can do.
yeah. Keep it PG, guys. PG. Family friendly.
Yeah, try and keep it clean.
But we will give you I will read out your name, who said it and stuff.
We'll give people credit for it. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, actually. It'll be good to see what people are asking and what people are feeling.
Yeah,
so yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But thank you very much, guys, though, for listening in. As we did lose, let's not sugarcoat it. So yeah, but thank you very much, guys. We really, really appreciate you. Thank you very much for listening. And as I always say, we are on Facebook and Twitter, so please give us a follow and enjoy the content that we give out. But thank you very much, and
thanks, guys. See you next time.